Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Seth Havhager.
Good morning, y'all.
We're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
Paul, I don't want to get in your way too much here today. We got a lot of important information for you to get out there. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, we've seen round one of the storm system, but it looks like round two is certainly going to be the heavier band of snow, and also the winds also gusting to 30 to 40 at times here for us tonight throughout Thursday. So the heavy snow and the blowing snow will certainly continue to make for a very difficult travel here for us. It looks like the second band of snow is going to start to build in as we get more into the afternoon and then early evening. So kind of gradually building up and then becoming heavy as we get to the evening and most of the night tonight, heavy snow to continue. Looks like snowfall amounts to fall here anywhere from 7 to 11 inches. So I think something around that to fall with this next band coming through. So that'll put some of those totals certainly over a foot for portions of the area here with our temperatures today, about mid-20s. Cloudy skies, still a few snow showers, nothing heavy here through the daytime hours. Until we get late afternoon, that's things that could start to ramp back up here. Tonight, 18, snow heavy at times. North winds about 20 to 35, some gusts to 40. Snow and blowing snow Thursday, 25 for the high northeast winds, still about 20 to 30 into the day. Winter storm warning goes in effect later this afternoon, continues through Thursday evening as the blowing snow will still be somewhat of an issue here throughout the day. And then 4 below, turning partly cloudy Thursday night. 16 Friday, breaks of sun and some clouds. And 9 above Friday night, maybe a few snow showers, nothing much for accumulation with that, just some light amounts on Friday night. 30 on Saturday, partly sunny. 8 above Saturday night, and then mid-30s Sunday with some partly sunny skies. And it could be another system moving in with some rain-snow mix potential here as we get to Monday of next week. Highs reach about 40 at that point. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
That's not bad, Paul, excuse me, that's not bad, but I'm going to throw my cards back in the table. I'd like to reshuffle. Can we do that?
Redeal, please.
Paul, I saw something where by this, they're saying possibly by this time tomorrow or tomorrow afternoon, literally the whole state could be under a winter weather advisory. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. Does that kind of thing happen often?
Not too often. Usually it's, you know, like central and northern or just southern, you know. Usually it's not like, all-encompassing.
Yeah. Interesting. We're better prepared now. We appreciate it, Paul. Yeah. Thanks so much for the live update. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Hey, you bet. Stay safe.
You stay safe, you too. Thank you, Paul. Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Mr. Paul Trombley, joining us. If he's got that response to that kind of stuff, that tells you something.
Paul does.
Not only incredibly good at what he does, historian, really loves the history of weather and understands it better than most I've talked to.
I think so.
He's very good at what he does.
He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah. So Seth and James here with you. We'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in the next segment. After Melissa's news, we'll be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing. Phil Hartley will join us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to that. Right now, Tuesdays are kind of the one day that we don't really have much going on. Every day this week, we have like the kitchens open on Monday.
Yeah.
Word of the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Thursday, our Pet of the Week. Friday, Star of the Day.
Yeah.
It's been fun. We've enjoyed this. But that means that we have to work 5 days a week. So we'll never be able to do the 4 days a week. The push to make a four-day work week the standard has really picked up steam in recent years. Mm-hmm. Seth and I were just talking about this.
Yeah.
The world's largest four-day work week pilot program has just wrapped up. It took place over 6 months in the UK, but it involved researchers from around the globe, including Boston College and the University of Cambridge. 61 companies participated with nearly 3,000 employees.
Wow. That's a big study.
Anytime they do these studies or we do surveys, I'm the biggest thing that I'm looking at is that number. That's a pretty good body of data.
Right, right.
A lot of different factors, a lot of different, you know, the things you're looking for when you're doing these kind of things. The company should choose how they'd structure it, like giving an extra day off per week or reducing their working days in a year to average out to 32 hours per week.
Right.
So it wasn't even 40 hours crammed into 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
The only requirement was that they could not cut salaries or benefits.
Yes.
The workers would get 100% of their pay. In exchange, they'd deliver 100% of their usual work.
Yeah, and that's that's the important part. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
In the end, it was a resounding success for employees and employers.
Wow, listen to that.
And it wasn't just about less working hours for the same money. 15% of employees who participated said no amount of money could convince them to go back to work 5 days a week.
Wow, 15, that's a decent amount.
Workers reported a lot of benefits, including better sleep, stress levels, personal lives, mental health. They spent more time with their kids, families, household duties, and friends. The companies reported that their revenues stayed broadly the same during the six-month trial, but went up 35% on average when compared to, with a similar period from previous years.
Whoa.
They also dealt with less turnover, fewer sick days, less burnout, and were happy with the employee performances. Of these 61 companies, 56 or 92% said that they are continuing the four-day work week.
So over half.
They're done with the experiment. They're done. They're taking the interim off the coach's label, and they're just making him coach.
Yep.
And even though the trial's over, and 18 of them said that they've already made the four-day shift permanent.
Wow.
That leaves five companies. Two of them are going to continue experimenting, and only 3% say that they are done with it and will return to 5 days a week.
Huh. Wow. That is really remarkable.
I think that the first thing that stands out is what you noted and you underlined about everybody agreeing, but not just the owners and the company, but the employees. Hey, you're going to still get the same production.
Everything's going to stay the same. Yep, exactly.
That has to be understood going into this.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I feel like everything else is kind of just referring what we,
exactly
what we already knew.
Yeah.
Companies are not going to make less money.
Yep.
Employees are not going to make less money.
Yep.
And it's not as if, I think some people think if you had a 4 day work week, oh, that means we're going to have a bunch of lazy people or something like that. How many lazy parents do you know?
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist.
Right.
But on average, most parents, they're just going to end up spending more time with their kids and their family. You know, they're just going to be doing more of that.
Exactly. Doing more things that help them recover from doing the work. There's nothing on this study that is surprising to me. Yeah. Not one thing on this is surprising to me. Productivity remained the same. People felt better. Less turnover. You cannot tell me there's not a company out there that wants less turnover.
Right.
They want to keep their people. They don't want people to quit.
That's one of the biggest issues right now is hanging on to your employees.
Yeah.
That seems pretty good. It's also similar. This reminds me very much of the people that are whining, complaining that nobody wants to move to the state and work here and everything. Well, look at the minimum wage. Look at childcare. Look at these things. Like, if you don't do anything about this stuff, what do you expect?
Right.
You can sit there all proud on your hill that you want to die on when it comes to $7 was enough for me when I was 13.
Yeah.
Okay. What can you find when you were 13 that is the same price now that it was when you were 13?
Yeah, exactly.
I love that the same people that all they wanted to talk about going into the election was inflation, and yet when you bring up like actual people making more money, oh heaven no, heavens no, we can't have that. But we'll make tax breaks for the CEOs and stuff. We'll do that. But the grinders, the employees like you and I and everybody out there listening, nah, forget you guys. You can live on $7 an hour.
So
make it work, lazy. Make it work.
So the people that actually put money into the economy, the people that need that money to live on, we're the ones that put the money in there. If you give a tax break, see, that doesn't go into the economy. That gets invested. That gets put in a bank. That does not get put back into the economy. If everyone gets more money, that goes. That makes everything go. And so, I want to tear my hair out. This is good for everybody.
There's no downside to
this. No.
We've got the stats to prove it.
Yes,
now. We've
exactly.
got the data to prove it. And I'm not just talking about this article. No. I'm talking about the 15 other ones we've done and other companies have done in the last couple of years, really since the pandemic.
Yeah.
This is our opportunity to learn. We could be the people that were around when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they used to work 5 days a week? How insane.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's something pretty cool that we have in our hands right now, that we have the power to do something about. This is a legend status right here that we can do as a society moving forward and say enough is enough. And you're not going to get 100% of people to agree to this.
No.
But the majority of people you get, and here's the other part of this. If you want to work 5 days a week And say your company, Civic Media, decides, well, we're on 4 days a week. That's all our employees are working.
Yep.
But I want to work 5 or 6 days a week. Do you think they're going to have a problem with that? Do you think
they're going to? Yeah, no.
James, come on, enough's enough now, James. James, we're a young company, and yeah. we don't need you, you know, working all the time and everything.
Right, right.
Like, no, I feel like they'd be okay with that. So if you want to still work 5 days a week, figure it out. You can probably work 5 days a week, pick up a side job or something like that if you need that badly.
Right.
To the people that are like myself that have to work multiple jobs because of need of income and everything,
right.
we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already have.
Yeah.
People have already. I don't feel like that's an issue either. The only people that have a hang up about this are the people that are the Scrooge McDucks,
mm-hmm.
the people that have a safe full of coins that they can swim in, and it's not enough. Yeah,
right.
But it's only 20 feet. I want a 40-foot pool that I can dive into.
I need another yacht, you know?
By the way, you can only do that in cartoons.
Yeah.
There's no way. You're going to break your neck if you try to do that. Billionaire Bill Gates died today when he tried to jump into a pool of money. Like,
well, not even in the rebooted DuckTales, he doesn't do it anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Because
he
realized this is ridiculous, you know?
Spitting coins out. Yeah. You're going to choke on those things, man. That's a horrible way to go.
Yeah. One other thing I want to add about this thing that I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes along with this, too. Think about this, okay? Say you're one of those companies that, you know, a factory that goes 24 hours, you know, you have this is another way to add jobs. Because if you have fewer people working, you're going to need more people to fill in that, you know, fill up the schedule. You know,
that's
a good thing, too. More job creation, huh? Maybe not a ton, but still, that's something.
That's an incredible point.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good point by you. I didn't even think of that. And that's another thing that has been in crux. That's
yeah.
that people have
mm-hmm.
been, well, we need more employees when we need more people. You have to, the day of, hey, I've got a job, that's good enough. That's not enough anymore.
Mm-mm,
that's
not.
Whether
you
that's,
can't live.
Whether that's right or not, that's case by case. You guys can, you got
yeah.
your own brains. You can make your own opinions on that. But
right.
as far as society is saying, they've answered that question. They're
mm-hmm.
not doing that anymore.
You're
only going to pay me $7 an hour to work the grill? Well, I'm a creative. I'll put stuff on Etsy and eBay, and I'll make a living doing that. And I'll
mm-hmm.
work a part-time job maybe at a gas station or something like that for a couple hours a week, maybe. Or maybe
yeah.
I'll just do the Etsy thing or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
People are self-employing themselves at an alarming rate.
Yep.
And the only people that are scared by that are CEOs.
Yep.
Are people that are hoarding their money and they are afraid to lose one last cent. You know the only people that believe in trickle-down in them, economics? The tricklers.
Exactly.
The people with money.
Dude.
That's it. That's the end of it. That wasn't, I mean, we proved during Reagan's administration that doesn't work. You throw
it
that
never
term
worked,
away.
Yeah.
If Warren Buffett says it doesn't work, that tells you something.
I love the idea of calling them tricklers. I want to start calling them that.
Yeah.
They're not the 1% anymore.
Nope.
They're tricklers.
I like that better. I think
yeah.
that's better. I think we accidentally just came across something.
One real more quick point. I think the reason we're looking at something like this, I mean, that people are actually seriously considering the four, is because of what you just said. People doing their own thing.
Yeah.
People employing themselves. Whoa, we need workers now. How are we going to get them? Well, this is one way to do it.
I talked before about last week what the NFL did when they realized, hey, wait a minute, we're losing viewers, we're losing money during our halftime. Oh, that'll never happen again. Like, they did something about it. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a smart organization.
Yeah,
they did not. They're not going to siphon money. They're going to lose that spot there.
Yeah, pretty evil, but smart.
Yeah. Yes, very. Yeah, yes, yes. I agree to both, and I will continue to watch. I don't know. I feel like whether you want this or not, whether you like it or not, it's getting closer and closer to it. Say this happens. 50% of the companies in America go to a 4-day work week. The rest stay at 5. What do you think is going to happen to that rest that stay at 5?
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to – we've already seen a great migration happen of people leaving this industry and going into this industry
yep.
or going from having a job to a career or all that. Chickens come home to roost.
Yeah.
Chickens come home to roost.
They do.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into some more fun because we've got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up on the morning show at WFHR. I'm not going to hit this Misty's button. And,
why not?
I'm not. And it's
what's wrong,
not,
James?
It's going to play the regular stuff, right?
It's back to the ring.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
happy birthday, baby.
It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're going to do right now is talk about Misty's and do some celebrating. Now, Misty's has some different hours for a little while here. They're going to be closed Wednesdays and Thursdays in February in the first 3 weeks of March. They'll be closed February 25th till March 5th. So keep that in mind, everybody. Mm-hmm. They will resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th. We wish them a good break. Enjoy your time off. Well-earned, well-deserved.
Well-earned.
When they do open their doors again, get on over to Misty's at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll treat you good. You'll love the time you'll spend there.
So I got to say that my son, who had his birthday yesterday, went to Misty's with Beth for lunch.
Good, good.
He got his piece of pie, and they graciously brought a piece of pie back for me, which was delicious.
Oh, good to hear.
Brian's pies, I'm telling you.
Brian really knows what he's doing
over there. He knows what he's doing.
It's such good stuff. Yep. Get on over there when they open their doors and enjoy some Misty's. Really good to hear they did that, too.
Yes.
That's very cool. As long as we're taking a pause real quick here, I do want to thank you for the work you did on that spot and congratulate you on getting me.
Yeah. Did I get you? Oh, good. I'm glad.
I can count on one hand how many times I've been shocked in radio. Last year, Terry and Katrina stopping by the studio and everything with the balloons and all that threw me for a loop. And that's easily in the top three because I didn't see that coming. I was so excited in the moment. I was hoping that the sounder, I hope I get the Beatles sounder. But we played it on Friday.
Yeah.
So I was shocked when it popped up. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, all right. And it took me a good 5-10 seconds to realize what was happening.
I was hoping it would confuse you a little bit.
It did. It did. And I'm looking over at Beth, and she's playing. She's got a great poker face. She's just going along and everything. Like, what? I was blown away. It took me hold down on my game face to keep it on, not getting too emotional about that one. Thank you. Thank you to you and everybody else that contributed to that. Appreciate you very much.
It was fun.
Getting into our birthdays for today, just have one on the list, Mr. Wilson Mathis.
Happy birthday, Wilson.
That's a strong name.
Yes.
Wilson Mathis.
Wilson Mathis.
I like that. That's a good name right there.
Two last names, always good.
We hope you have a fantastic day, Wilson. Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
We take a look at our celebrity list here. One of my favorite players playing defense in football since his college days, Khalil Mack, is 32 today, L.A. Chargers linebacker.
Mm.
Khalil Mack, also great name for football players.
It is a great name. So, is he related at all to Kevin Mack, the old running back for the Browns?
Ooh. I don't know.
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Rajon Rondo is 37. I believe he's currently with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Won a title with Boston and has been playing for quite a
long time. Yep.
He's an interesting story, too. He got kind of his scholarship because of a mixtape, those mixtapes they used to do back in the day and everything.
Really?
And got a scholarship to Kentucky.
Wow,
for that.
That's cool.
Let's see here. Elodie Young is 42. She is the star of The Cleaning Lady. She's also Elektra on Daredevil and Jinx in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Oh.
She was good on Elektra. I thought she was a very good Elektra in that Daredevil series.
Yeah,
I wonder
if
she'll revise that role.
Well, they seem to be bringing all of those guys back at this point, so maybe she will.
That's currently filming right now,
the new Daredevil show.
Because they want that release right away. They want to get that out there.
It's like 20-some episodes. It's a wow. I was surprised at how many episodes
very
it is.
Excited about that. More Charlie Cox's Daredevil, you got me. Yeah.
And some Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones. I loved her. Oh,
Kristen
so
Ritter's Jessica Jones is one of the better casting things I've ever seen.
One of the best.
Same thing with David Tennant playing Mr. Gray or whatever the character.
The Purple Man.
The Purple Man. Yeah. Holy cow. Like, I didn't know David Tennant had that level in him, like to play dark like that.
He was creepy.
Yeah. Did a really good job. Yep. She's just a good actor. Although, that Cleaning Lady show, I haven't seen it, but there's something about that Cleaning Lady. I don't know. I don't think she's just a cleaning lady from what I've seen from the trailers and everything. I don't know. It's part of the show.
Yeah.
Tom Higginson is 44. Hey There, Delilah, singer for the Plain White Tees. Still a good band name.
Yeah, it is. I hate that song. Anyway.
We're all burnt out of that song. Ask a girl named Delilah how she feels about that song. Yeah. Drew Barrymore is 48 today.
Oh.
It's interesting. We were talking the other day. I was talking with Laura, I think it was, about the other. Well, actually, her and I was talking to some students about it, too, because it kind of bled into it. But talking about child actors.
Mm.
And I believe that the original three from the Harry Potter movies are getting back together. There's talks of a new one that they're going to do or something like that. And it got me thinking about this and how Daniel Radcliffe, the kid who played Harry Potter, has done something I've never seen before. And I've studied acting my whole life, and I've studied actors, the role choices they take, the careers that they have, the arc of their careers. I talked about Ice-T the other day. Arguably the most original arc of a career you've ever heard of or seen.
Right.
From where he started to where he was.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe, I've never seen this before, where a child actor not only seems to like be well-rounded, he seems to be doing okay and mental health-wise and all that.
Yeah.
But he's gotten to the point in his career where that's like the fifth thing on his IMDb. Like, it's not even the first thing that people mention when they mention Daniel Radcliffe anymore. It's kind of like an afterthought of, and he played Harry Potter. Now, he's got this, this, and this, and he played Harry Potter. That's incredible, man. I've never seen that before.
When you play such an iconic character for so long as he did, and if you're able to continue and make people forget kind of about that, that's saying something else. I got to give some props to Emma Watson, too, because she has kind of done similar things. She's done a really, since the end of the Harry Potter movie, she's done some really cool things, too. So
I thought this was going to happen to Drew Barrymore. When I was a kid, I thought she was just such a she is, still is, such a natural talent. So comfortable doing this stuff that it just seemed like, well, she'd be okay. She had a really rocky time
She
there.
Did for a while.
And where she is now, where she's a celebrated director and producer, she I don't know if she's still doing it, but on the old AMC or the old AMC, the channel that played old movies and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
She would be on there talking old movies and talking about the details.
Yeah, Turner Classic Movies a few
Turner
times.
Turner Classic
Movies. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see where she was and started as a kid, had all that hardship in the 80s and everything, and now she's got a daytime talk show that everybody loves. She's more loved than Ellen. Like, because she's genuine, as we found out. I think that's pretty cool, and I'm really happy for her. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I didn't know she's only 48. Like, doesn't it seem like she's in her mid-50s by now?
She
don't look it by any means. But just because she's been around so long.
Yeah, and we grew up with her. It's hard to remember. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, we kind of grew up at the same time she did. So, she comes from a storied Hollywood family, too, the Barrymores. Yeah. Yes. I mean, come on.
I'm a big fan of hers. Yeah. I've always enjoyed her work. James Blunt I should say, too, real quick. I don't think Adam Sandler's best co-stars have always been like his buddies and stuff in his movies or a former SNL castmate or something. Him and Chris Rock have incredible chemistry, Kevin James and all that. The best chemistry I've seen Adam Sandler have, and I've watched all of his work, is with Drew Barrymore or Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard for me to pick which one, but he's he's got to do more movies with both of them. Like, I actually want to see him do a movie with all three. I think they did do that or something. I think they did something like that. James Blunt is 49. Singer, songwriter, no shoe wearer. Every time I see him, he's got no shoes on.
I'm trying to remember that his big hit song, and now it's totally
You're Beautiful,
escaping me.
Goodbye, My Lover.
You're Beautiful, that's the one.
I don't know. Is he the one? Is he the bad day guy? So you had him in. I can't handle that song.
I can't handle
that song.
It's either that or Five for Fighting, which is the weirdest
Whoever did that song, they should have their record contract taken from them. Sorry.
You're Beautiful was another one that was overplayed when it was a hit, so everyone got tired of it. Yeah.
Thomas Jane is 54, star of sci-fi's Expanse. He was also the 2004 Punisher.
That's right.
He was in the god-awful movie The Mist. And he is the star of HBO's Hung and some other stuff. He used to be married to Patricia Arquette. I think Thomas Jane's a fantastic actor. I've never really understood why he doesn't work more, other than it's just a tough business. He had a guest spot on Arrested Development, where he basically he was playing himself, but the Portia de Rossi, the one that interacted with his character, she thinks he's a homeless man, and she's trying to prove that she's a good person. So she like takes him in and all this stuff. It's actually Thomas Jane trying to play a homeless man, because he's getting character and learn what it is to be homeless and all that. And he did a great job with it. He played it great. Jeri Ryan is 55, 7 of 9 Star Trek friends out there.
She's awesome.
She is revising her role on the Picard show.
Yes.
They've got one more season of that.
Yeah, yeah. She's and I got to say, she was one of the big reasons why Voyager was a hit when she finally came on the show. And then, but since then, I mean, when she came the first season of Picard, she came back and badass, man. Yeah, I mean, yeah. She's so cool right still. She's, just, yeah.
She's a good actor. I've seen her in other stuff.
Yeah.
The great Rachel Dratch is 57, Second City, an SNL alum who left the show to join Tina Fey on 30 Rock, but mm-hmm. producers replaced her with Jane Krakowski, and Rachel ended up only doing about 12 episodes as various characters.
Hmm.
That was horrible to hear and
yeah.
see. I felt so bad for Rachel Dratch, and she's never really gotten a chance to shine. She mm-hmm. is so dang talented. She's mm-hmm. just as talented as Tina and Amy. And if you've heard me talk about Tina and Amy, you know how I feel about those two.
Yep.
Those three were the three amigos back at Second City. I go back and I watch a lot of the archive footage of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And every sketch, Rachel's in there. And sometimes she's the lead in the sketch. Mm-hmm. Tina didn't want to be on the stage or anything like that. Rachel was really supposed to be what Tina's doing now and
gotcha.
All that. And she deserves it, too. Rachel mm-hmm. Dratch deserves... I really hope... She's only 57. I really hope she gets that character one day that she's known for.
Yeah.
There are so many great bits that she did on SNL.
Yeah. There's a couple of women from the show that always seem to do better. And maybe she still will. I always thought Kate McKinnon... should be bigger than she is.
Agreed.
Kind of thing. But Rachel was one of those same people. Lots of talent, but somehow they couldn't find out what to do with her kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Kyle MacLachlan is 64, Agent Dale Cooper in Twin Peaks. He's Skye's father in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I didn't know that.
Yes.
He was on Desperate Housewives. I didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, he was. Oh. He's had a very fascinating career.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's a very versatile actor.
Yes.
He's been in some really great stuff. He's been in some real dogs, too. But hey, every time, he's professional. He does yeah. his thing, you know?
Was he the one in Blue Velvet?
Yes.
Yes, he was, because I thought so.
He worked with David Lynch on several things,
yeah.
like Twin Peaks, Dune. He was in the original Dune.
That's it. I couldn't place
yep.
it. Thank you. So not the actor I would have expected to be David Lynch's guy.
Yeah, no.
Well, that was his De Niro in some ways.
yeah.
And I wouldn't have expected that, but yeah, a good actor.
Yes.
One of the greatest basketball players of all time, Mr. Julius Erving, is 73, Dr. J.
Dr. J.
Favorite dunk I've ever seen. Favorite dunk
still?
I'll ever see. Still my favorite. Dr. J coming down the court. No, I wasn't. I saw this in highlights. I wasn't mm-hmm. around for it. Dr. J booking down the court, or gets the ball, booking down the court, and he goes too far. He talks about this in interviews and stuff. He didn't realize where he was on the court, and it never happened to him before. So he was kind of like in panic mode, and he takes his arm and goes around behind the backboard, around, and then lays it up on the other side. It's one of the most amazing things you'll ever see a human being do.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And that's not even probably in other people's top five of Dr. J moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's just for me, my personal opinion. Julius Erving, champion, incredible athlete.
The way I know him best was the video game Dr. J versus Bird one-on-one.
Yeah, that was a great game.
I played that game constantly I was a kid. It was
good.
That was a good one.
Same here. It was a good one, yeah. Julia Walters is 73. She was Miss Weasley on in the Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm.
John Astin is 75, Sergeant Taggart in Beverly Hills Cop. He was really good in that role. He's really good. And then some people no longer with us, like the amazing Jonathan Demme, one of my favorite directors of all time. Top 10 favorite directors of all time. Now, Jonathan Demme passed away way young.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, didn't have too huge of an IMDb. Just directed Philadelphia, Silence of the Lambs, Beloved, the 1974 classic Caged Heart, you know, just a couple of movies.
Dark Man. Don't forget Dark Man.
Yeah, the Demis, both of them,
mm-hmm.
incredible directors.
Yep.
But Jonathan, my guy, just incredible director, incredible
mm-hmm.
guy who really got actors and really not one of these guys like James Cameron that's got to torture his actors to get the thing. Jonathan Demme treated his actors like human beings and still got great performances out of them.
He trusted them in their craft. How fascinating that is, right?
Let's see. Jonathan Demme let Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks do their thing in Philadelphia. How'd that work out, everybody? Did Tom get nominated for that role? Oh, yeah, that's right. He won.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather work with a guy like that than have
any day of the week.
Yeah, every day. Don Pardo, born in this day in 1918, passed away in 2014. Legendary
Don
SNL
Pardo.
Announcer. I'm on TV. There's a old Lee Iacocca sketch.
Okay. Of all things.
Yeah, to tell you how old this reference is. Where they're all talking. John Lovitz as Lee Iacocca. Oh, no, Phil Hartman as Lee Iacocca, and John Lovitz is in it. And they're talking, and at one point they mention Don Pardo, and he shows up, and he's kind of shaking. And you can see Don, he's shaking. He's so scared, and he's so nervous. And he looks in the camera. Hey, I'm on TV. It's one of my favorite things to ever happen in SNL history. And what a voice. What a voice.
What one of those voices. I remember listening to, like, from the 50s, an old radio show, and the announcer. And I'm like, boy, that sounds familiar at the end. This is your announcer, Don Pardo. I was like, oh, my gosh. Yes, one of the he was on radio for 50 years or however long it was.
May have been the greatest.
One of the best.
Yeah, definitely one of the best. Yep. And could be the argument one of the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. Ted Kennedy, born in this day in 1932, passed away in 2009.
All right.
And Steve Irwin, born in this day in 1962, passed away in 2006. The crocodile hunter.
The
So much. Wow. What Steve Irwin did with his life, mm-hmm. In a short life,
yeah.
The awareness that he brought and the attention he brought mm-hmm. is incredibly noteworthy. It's so cool to see his kids and his wife continuing
that legacy.
But any zoologist will tell you one of his lasting legacies is he was incredibly smart, knew what he was doing, and still died from interacting with wild animals.
Yep.
So I mean, that is part of his legacy.
Yep.
It's sad, but it's something we can all learn from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, don't go up to that stingray. Hey, don't go up to this animal. You know,
yep.
Trust people that know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to remind people about this, unfortunately, in society, because we have a lot of people that don't trust doctors and all this stuff. But let the people that know what they're doing do it. Like,
yep.
Hey, get a picture of me touching this stingray.
Yeah.
No, man, no.
I'm going to take this selfie with his bear here,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Right?
Even people who know what they're doing, it can still end like this.
Yeah.
They're wild animals.
They're still wild.
One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Wilson Mathis.
Happy birthday, Wilson.
And to anybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary out there. Get them to us, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com. You can always, of course, send them to direct message us on our Facebook page. You can do it that way. Or james.maloff@civicmedia.us.
I don't think so, Tim. Sorry, Wilson.
Nice. No, that was good. That was good. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. What a career for Steve Winwood.
We can do a whole bumper thing just of Steve Winwood stuff.
Yeah, quite a career.
Yeah.
And talking about having an interesting quite career, we have Phil Hartley joining us right now from Quality Plus Printing. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning. Give me a higher love.
Yeah. Oh, good one. Good one. Yes. Yeah. All I just thinking as I said that's playing the bumper right away in my head, especially us kids of the 80s and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that guy ran game in the 80s.
Yes, he did.
Steve, quite a career. Really nice career for him.
Back in the 60s, right?
When he was a teenager.
I mean, when you have a hit when you're 12 or 14 or something like
15
that.
15 or 16,
it's pretty nice. You're going to have a pretty nice career. You could have a pretty nice career.
Yeah.
Phil Hartley joins us every Wednesday from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Phil, how you been doing?
Really well. Digging out a little bit, but I think we got more to come, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it looks like it, yeah. What is our word for today, Phil?
I think you're going to like this one. This is a different one here. So see if you can tell me what it means. See if you can get the anachronism. Anachronism.
Anachronism.
Anachronism.
Let's see. A-N-A-C-H-R-O-N-I-S-M.
I believe
it has a lot of significance to some people that are in plays or movies. It's a thing belonging to a period that other than where it should be exists.
Mm-hmm.
The way I've seen this the most, or heard this the most, is like in a movie when you're watching a movie that was set in the 30s and somebody's wearing a brand new Rolex Swiss watch or something.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Wait, that's an anachronism.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anything like that where something doesn't belong in the period that it's being shown in.
They had this happen on Game of Thrones where they were having a scene and there's a Starbucks cup in the scene and everything, like right on the table. Like,
no, they had Starbucks then.
This happened during Lord of the Rings too, where there's a scene in the first Lord of the Rings movie where their first all seven are together and they're walking and you look in the bag and you see like a Volkswagen or something like that going by.
Even in the best movies, it happens. Yeah.
Like, oh, why did they just take the Volkswagen? Why? Did they, I mean, it seems like it'd been a lot faster. It seems it's a shorter book,
they
I guess.
Yeah.
That's a great word, Phil. That's a really good one.
Let's drive to Mordor.
How'd you come across that word?
Oh, man. I don't know. You know, I keep watching for words every week. And I get some emails.
Cool.
Words of the week and stuff and different things. And I try to find one that catches me. And then that one caught me.
Is there anything more fun than interacting with, for you customers, for us listeners? It's the greatest.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
They've always got great ideas. They've always got good stuff for us. It's great stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, and it's just a different, I mean, for lack of better words, the characters you meet. You know, everybody's different. We're all unique, like everyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thing goes, but boy, everybody's got their own story.
Yeah.
It's so fun to hear it. It is so fun.
Phil,
that's just part of it. You get a budget time in a work day just to be able to spend time with people and learn.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yes. That's smart. Yeah. Actually, yeah. That is very insightful. Yeah. Phil,
anachronism, we talked about the movies and stuff, but it could be about paintings. You know, sometimes you'll see things in paintings or, you know, pictures that, where did that come from, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so, indeed. Yeah.
How are things at the shop, Phil?
Hey, doing good. Working on a neat project this morning for our friends over at Sand Valley, so happy to do business with them, and we're actually printing up some rafters business cards pretty soon. They're getting ready, despite the look of what's outside.
Mm-hmm.
Their upcoming season, you know, so been a lot of fun to get some good projects going.
Really good to hear, Phil. We encourage people to head on over to Quality Plus Printing for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local. Phil and the gang will take good care of you. Always likes a curveball. Maybe you throw him something that he hadn't had before or something like that.
Yeah, bring it on.
Mm-hmm. They can handle it.
That's right.
And Phil, we're already looking forward to next Wednesday and getting another one of these wicked awesome words from you.
Yeah, no anachronisms here. It all belongs.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
Ready to go.
Hey, you guys stay safe, Phil. Say hi to the whole staff over there for us. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thank you both. Take care, guys.
You too. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate Phil and our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Learn more about the great work they're doing over there. You can go to their website, qpprinting.com. Encourage you to type into your search bar on Facebook, Quality Plus Printing, like their Facebook page. Keep up to date with that. And you can always stop by 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. You can't miss the store. It's right there. They always got a nice something nice on the sign out there
too,
and everything.
Yeah.
Be sure to check that out. If you want, you can give them a call ahead of time, 423-7440, 423-7440. Go to Quality Plus Printing for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local.
Uh-huh.
And join us next Wednesday for another Wicked Awesome Word. That's going to be fun.
Wicked Awesome.
Nick, Wicked Awesome. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. You know, forget about it. We'll be back. So I turned it from Boston to New York.
Gotta go to Brooklyn.
We'll be back with more Morning Show here at WFHR. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here on The Morning Show. Seth and James with you at 8:49. Big shout-out to Phil Hartley and our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We always enjoy hanging out with Phil and talking with him. That's fun. We'll have to get him in studio soon here.
Yeah, eventually. Get him back here.
What's rage applying? Plus seven more trendy work terms in 2023.
Trendy. They're telling us.
Yeah.
It's trendy.
We're going to be hip after this. And as soon as they know that we know these words, they'll change them.
Yeah.
It's how it works.
We're the bee's knees after this.
Never forget the first time I heard my dad say rad. I was like, no.
I can't use that word ever again.
I've never used it since. I love my dad. I think my dad's cool. And I still did, yeah. Here are a few more work terms that have been trending lately. Copycat layoffs. Copycat layoffs.
Huh?
The idea that layoffs are contagious. When one corporation starts canning people, other companies decide that they should too.
I think there might be something to that. I think it causes people to look at their own thing. Because it can't be a coincidence that like Google and Facebook and Amazon are all suddenly laying off a bunch of people. I think there is something to that. Maybe not the entire thing, but yeah.
Does anybody think CEOs don't talk? to each other.
Oh, absolutely, I mean, they do.
You know, this isn't. You don't need a term for this. This isn't contagious. This is planned. This is orchestrated. This is talked. There's a million meetings about it. There's months that is taken into it. It's not like the owner wakes up one day. And, you know what? Cut 20% of the company.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is something that they at least if they're doing that, their company's probably not around anymore.
That's the problem with having only four companies that run everything. They can four people can meet in a room and say, or not even meet in a room now. They can just text, hey, you think we should do this? Yeah, let's do this. Okay. Yeah.
It's gonna be Highlander. It's going to be Highlander, man, where there's only one person in this country, in America, that is in that 1%.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us are going to be – because it's never enough for these guys. You think Elon Musk's ego can handle what's happening to him right now?
No.
I mean, any of these – all these guys, they're just as bad as the next one. So. Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's not going to take too much further into the future here when we look and we see, oh, Jeff Bezos owns everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you don't want that, because I certainly don't.
Yeah. That's called a monopoly.
Yeah, very much so.
Resentism.
Resentism?
When you stay in a bad job because you don't think you have any other options. Yes. So you start to resent it more and more.
Ooh, that's a bad place to be in. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. I've been there. I've been there. I know what that's like.
All right. Now you have a word for it.
Yeah, right. I actually think that that's... That's interesting, because that's something that's existed since the dawn of jobs.
I think you're right. That is totally, yes.
Don't think we ever had a name for it, though.
No.
Bare minimum Monday. It's like quiet quitting, but just for the start of the week. You skate by and let yourself ease into it slowly. Or another terminology, almost every one of us.
Yeah, exactly. So now, here's my question. Let's tie this in with what we were talking about earlier. So if we only have a 4-day work week, would we still have something? Probably. But would we still have something like this? Maybe. Maybe not. Would we feel more rested? I don't know.
I think that employees that would try the bare minimum Monday on a 4-day work week wouldn't be employed very long.
It would seem that way.
The only way we get this to work is if everybody pulls their weight.
If the productivity stays the same. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So if anything, you might be X-ing that out, the idea of a bare minimum Monday.
Oh, maybe.
And if you're doing that, if I'm an owner, if I'm looking at that, I'm actually saving money then, because my employees, I got the lights on, I got all these things going, the business is running, but yet my employees aren't at the 100% because they had barely 2 days off.
Right.
And again, to parents, you had no days off. That actually makes a lot of sense. If I'm an employee, like, you know what? I'm not going to wait for the rest of the world to do this. I'm going to be smart about this, get ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start a 4-day work week and go forward from there and see how this goes.
Yeah.
Chaotic working. It's also called malicious compliance. It's when you break rules at work to help out a friend, for example, by giving an employee discount or upsizing their food order for free.
Oh, okay.
That stuff has no shelf life. You will get caught. Eventually, you will get caught.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it a lot. Although, personally, the way I view it, I don't think it does a lot of harm. But if you do it too much, then you're right. Yeah, people will start to notice.
Shift shock. It's when you're excited about a new job, but after a few shifts, you realize you hate it. It's also called new hire's remorse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shift Shock, I thought was the name of like a bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Seems like it would be. Shift Shock.
Shift Shock.
It seems like a bad guy name. I don't know what to do with that one.
Well, I think I know what it is. I think I've dealt with that a little myself.
Oh, yeah.
When you've got a job. Oh, right. I got a job. After the euphoria of getting a new job wears off, and it's like, ugh, I got to work now, and I don't like this work. Uh-oh.
We see this in radio a bit, especially we see this with announcers. I'll never understand this. We always have this person, hey, you guys need announcers? Oh, I'll do that. Okay, what's your experience? Well, I don't have any, but I could do as good of a job as Joe Buck or any of these guys.
Uh-huh.
And then they want to just show up and just jump on the microphone and talk. Like, that's all they want to do. They don't realize all the extensive work Randy does and, you know, announcers do, interviewing coaches, talking to players, getting the pronunciation of these kids' names down, like you know your own kid's name. Yep. And think about all the work that they put into these things. Some people, they don't want to do all that work. They just want to talk.
And every announcer has to do that, from someone as local as Randy up to Joe Buck. They still got to go interview the players and the coaches and everything. They still got to do that.
At our level, Randy is not just the announcer. He's the producer. He's the researcher. He's the, I mean, he's got to do
all of it himself.
Joe Buck's got a guy in his ear telling him stuff and everything. Randy don't have that.
Nope.
I mean, so when it comes to like this kind of job, even just doing what we're doing on the radio here.
Yeah.
Like, in, there's plenty of people that have been in radio and are dying to get back into it and want to get back, you know, and do it. And they miss it and those kind of things.
Yeah.
I know a lot more people that got into this industry and burnt out within months. I'll never forget a friend of mine. I'm not going to say his name or anything because he's a friend. I do consider him one.
Yep.
But he graduated, came up to GLX, and was so excited, had more energy than I've seen a lot of people have at a job before. That lasted a couple weeks and then a couple months, and it never panned out. And I don't I don't know if he's even in radio anymore. Right. I don't think he is. And he went to school for it, you know.
Wow.
Like, there's certain, you know, things.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
I imagine it's like that for me too. Now, acting's not what I thought it was when I was a kid. I thought it was all about the talent. I thought it was all about just being, you know, everybody wanting to be good at this and creativity and having fun. I had no idea the politics and all this other stuff.
All the stuff going on.
Image and all those things. Boomerang employees. It's when you go back to an old job because your new one didn't work out. Okay.
I've seen that a few times with other. I've never done that myself, but I've seen that a few times with people. And actually, the I'm thinking of one specifically. It actually worked out better for that person because they realized they went to this job. It wasn't right for them. And they were so good at their old job that it was good that they came back because that's really where they belong.
I think we've been seeing more of that along with this great migration is a lot of people that may not be going to a new job or a new career, but going back to one that they missed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And career cushioning is when you don't necessarily hate your job, but you start looking for other jobs in case layoffs are coming. That should be everybody.
That's smart.
That's smart, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love this job. Yep. Civics treated me good. Mm-hmm. I'd stay here for the rest of my career if they'll have me.
Yep.
But do I have other you know, things out there?
Like, just in case?
Yeah. You're darn right I do.
Yeah.
I've had it happen to me. I walked in my old GLX days. I walk into work. I'm a copywriter. I'm doing over the back fence. I'm on FM and AM. I've never been happier in my life with work. And my place in the world. And I walk in one day, and everybody, what's everybody meeting for and everything? We've been bought. NRG bought us. And everybody's keeping their jobs, except could I talk to you, and you in the office over here? And I just go dumbly over to the office. Oh, sure, what's going on over here, Miles? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. You're out. You're gone. They already have a copywriter they're bringing in. We don't need you. But I could do other. No, we're done. And you know, that's it.
Rough,
that's over.
Yeah.
I will never have that happen again. Never. I've got 4 or 5 options just sitting there for me right now if I need them. And I've got more if I did some digging. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with my job, current job, or my happiness in my job. Mm-hmm. I love this place. I genuinely mean that. But you're a fool to me. That's foolish to me to not have a backup plan.
Right.
I think that's just smart. As far as career cushioning, giving some of these things that are just silly to say too. I could never say that to another grown human being. What you doing, Jay? You know, how's the job going? Well, all right, but you know, I'm doing some career cushioning. Like, what? Is that a? I don't think you should tell me that. This sounds like a sexual position. I don't think you should be saying that. I don't know. The heck's going on?
Is that? Did we ever find out what rage applying was?
Yeah, they didn't even give it to us. They didn't even tell us. Rage applying is when you're so fed up with your job, you go home and apply to a ton of other jobs that seem better.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Now we know.
I'm so glad.
We know that
we have that terminology now. We will take a break. We'll come back with not only CBS News and whether our Weather Center, but Seth and I will jump into some entertainment news when we get back here on The Morning Show at WFHR.